The reading this morning is from Revelations. Revelations chapter 2, reading verses 1 through to 7. The message to Ephesus. To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of him who holds the seven stars in his right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your works, your toil and your patience, endurance. I know that you cannot tolerate evildoers. You have tested those who claim to be apostles, but are not, and have found them to be false. I also know that you are enduring patiently and bearing up for the sake of my name, and that you have not grown weary. But I have this against you, that you have abandoned the love you had at first. Remember then from what you have fallen, repent, and do the works you did at first. If not, I will come to you and remove your lampstand from its place, unless you repent. Yet this is to your credit, you hate the works of the Nicolaitans, which I also hate. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give permission to eat from the tree of life that is in the paradise of God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Revelations full of visions. A little bit of a potted quick overview to make more sense of that reading before we look at the theme for today, which is whole life worship, focusing on our wavering hearts. Revelations then, written by John. Not quite sure which John. A lot of people think it's John from the Gospels, but that's not felt to be possibly the case. A lot of consternation. Which John? Written about 100 years following Jesus' crucifixion and resurrection, thought to have been. Very full of visions, quite complex. And messages from God. A general focus, a struggle between powers of good and evil. And it also looks to the future. And the reading today is a message. It's a letter to the seven churches. And our reading today is a letter to the Ephesians, to Ephesus. There's an urgent tone within the letters, particularly within the letter today, to persist in faithfulness or to repent. To the Ephesians, they're concerned not to be swayed by false leaders, but to focus on Jesus' teaching. Can you remember we talked about the Ephesians, didn't we, a couple of weeks ago, and about the fact that it was a very, very diverse culture, lots and lots of different teachings. So this sort of has a resonance for us in the sense that it's really focusing on keep Jesus at your heart, your first love, God your first love. Talks about the tree of life. And the tree of life can be seen as eternal life. It can also be seen as healing for the nations. And it talks about lampstands being removed. That's Christ's presence. Talk about Christ's presence not being in their lives. So just a little bit of background to the reading we've had. And we're looking at focusing on our wavering hearts. The core message being worship is empty without God's transformation in our hearts. Really focusing on love. Love being all that you need. God's love. And thank you, Adam, and band, for the song this morning. Love. God's love within us. and then turning up to the next one saying, turn, turn to you, we want to turn to you. And that's the core of this message that we've heard today. We've had a series of whole life worship, haven't we? We've looked at worship being rooted in the gospel, in God's word. We've looked at how it shapes our speech, in words we use in our lives, words of blessings, words of hope. Greeting all in the name of Jesus, all humanity, our brothers and sisters, no matter how different the others are, that all our brothers and sisters, and greeting them all in the name of Jesus. We've looked at transformations, being enlightened by our worship, and how that deep, deep closeness we find in our gathered worship spills into our daily lives. How God's big story transforms us and changes us. That's what we've been talking about. And today we think again about our hearts, how we need to focus, how they waver, and we need to keep refocusing them. To have hearts overflowing with love, love from God overflowing into our days. Because it really is all about love. First of all, God loved. It all started with God. He loved us first. So then that we could love. So we can respond in love. Here in our worship, in our gathered worship today. And taking that love with us into our whole lives. Love, the foundation. First love. God loved us first. And we hear in the passage, don't we, to the church in Ephesus, you have abandoned the love you had at first. Recognition that those Ephesians have been wavering, their hearts have been wavering. It's a little bit of a warning saying, your love's not as strong as it was once. A reoccurring theme in the Bible. We've had floods, nations taking on God's love. Jesus showing us that love. Love overflowing. And here it is again to those Ephesians. You have abandoned the love you had at first. But yet we hear how hard they tried. In verse 2, your toil, your endurance. You can't tolerate evildoers. You endure patiently. You bear up for the sake of my name. And you've not grown weary. But you have abandoned the love you had at first. They're clearly trying in all their actions, but their love is not as strong. They're not as close to God. They're not listening so much. It's all about love. Love from God, being close. God loved us first. I've heard many people over the years say, oh, those sermons, all they ever talk about is love. They're all the same. And they say it with a big smile, but not always. It's so easy to say love, isn't it? To believe that love is all. Is it easy, though, to action love all the time? We hear it in the gospel. We see it in the life of Jesus. Love flowing out and out and out of Jesus' life here on earth. And we receive it in blessings. We receive it with thanksgiving. And we hold on to it in hope at tough times. But yet how easy is it to just get on without it when we're pushed, when we're busy, when it all gets a bit difficult. But that love from God, I want us to think about that love. When is it easier to feel God's love? When do we feel it most? And when is it easier to love God? to love God in the Trinity of God the Father and of Jesus and of the Holy Spirit? When's it easier in our lives? And when's it more difficult? We'll all have different responses to that. But we are all children of God. All. Always. For all time. And that means you, every single person, and me, everyone. And as Phil said last week, you don't need to do anything to get that love. God just loves us. We're all loved children of God. God's love is unconditional. God loves whatever. He loves always. His love is never changing. We've heard that reading from Corinthians, haven't we? Often said at weddings. And we hear about love. That it bears all things. It believes all things. It hopes all things. And it endures all things. It's that love from God that loves us when we are not at our best. It's that love that holds us for the future, knowing that we can be our best. It's that love which accepts our failings, knowing that with God's love we can be stronger and we can succeed. It's that love that patiently waits, hopeful. Life can be very, very complicated. Yet, unconditional love isn't complicated. It just is. And we just need to be. Be with the moment. Simply be. Give in. Be loved by God. Rest in God's love. But yet we can hold on to those things, those times when we're not at our best, when we've messed up. When we've messed up with little things, when we've messed up big time. And we can find it difficult to seek forgiveness. And we can find it difficult to just get back in touch with God. We find it difficult to get back. But God's not gone anywhere. He waits for us, always. That unconditional love's there. That forgiveness is there when we truly seek forgiveness, when we truly mean sorry. And we can open that door a little wider. And we can ask for God to fill our hearts. Verse 5 said, remember from what you have fallen, repent and do the works you did first. God loved us first and he fills our hearts and that spills into others. Don't let earthly things get in the way. Rekindle that love. Retune. Maybe there's times when we do not believe we deserve to be loved. And we find it hard to love ourselves. And we find it difficult to be loved by others, to accept God's love and other people's love. But know, do know that God's love is always. And God gives us love so we can give love to others. Love flowing from God into us and from us into our lives. And there's a vision, there's a theme that kept coming to me when I was preparing for this sermon. And it was to do with that love overflowing. And I kept seeing champagne glasses. You know when you see those champagne glasses? You see them in really, really posh restaurants, stacked up, and the top one's filled, and then it fills more and more and more, and all the champagne glasses are getting filled up. May we be filled with God's love. May that love fill our hearts. May we keep close to God. May we say sorry when things are, we're not close enough, when things go wrong, when we mess up. May our hearts fill more and more. And may we spill that love into our lives. And may we in our worship, our gathered worship, just settle ourselves into God's love. Refocus, fill ourselves, so in our lives we spill out that love to all, to everyone we know. Listen to what the Spirit is saying, verse 7 says. Be filled with love so much that we hear the Spirit speaking to us and let it flow, so that we can eat from the tree of life, the paradise of God, that eternal life, that healing of nations, so we can dwell in God's kingdom, to link to the flow of life, wholly loved by God, pouring out that love, a cycle of filling and going out into our daily lives, filled by our prayers, by listening to God's word, in our gathered worship, our cups overflowing with love. And as I worked my way through the reading, Psalm 23 came to me. Walking with God, nothing to fear. God will protect us, provide for us, restore us, bring us back into the field when we go astray, and there we will dwell. I give permission to eat from the tree of life. That is the paradise of God we hear in the reading. So let us listen to Psalm 23 as a way of bringing all that we've talked about and heard from our reading. Let's listen to Psalm 23 as a prayer. So let us settle into prayer. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I fear no evil. For you are with me, your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord my whole life long. Amen.